Amen. If you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews 10, verse 32 to verse 39. It says these words: "Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution, and at other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." Amen. Can you repeat those words after me? "But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." Amen. Now, As some of you are aware, I like my polo shirts. And men have a tendency to love particular garments. And, you know, my dad, he had a pair, no, not a pair, he had a zoot suit. A zoot suit. Now, for any of you, well, there'll be a lot of you who don't even know what a zoot suit is. It was around about the 50s, 40s, 50s. Have you heard of Kid Creole and the Coconuts? That was around about when, was it the 80s, 90s? That band brought back the zoot suit. And we had a fancy dress, there was a fancy dress, and I thought, what am I going to wear? And Kid Creole and Coconuts were out at that time. So I went to my dad's wardrobe, and there was this zoot suit. Now, they made suits proper back then. A lot of material, beautifully put together, and so it was pristine. It was kind of those suits that big up here, tapering down, broad-shouldered jacket hanging down, it was the bee's knees. So I put that on, and I was able to wear it to the fancy dress, and it stayed totally as it was at the beginning, really well made. However, these days, now I'm more Primark and other shops, and these polo necks, there was one that I really liked, not polo neck, a polo shirt, t-shirts, one that I really liked, really had it for quite a while, and then for some reason, unbeknown to me, it shrank. I wasn't fully aware until I put it on, but I so loved it, it didn't register until I went out and, you know, was walking like in church and said, "Oh, Pastor, have you put on weight?" I thought, "What? What?" And I did feel a little bit cramped, but I'd loved it so much that I was determined to wear it. But it shrunk, And the day came when I had to admit it's done its day. And it had to go. It was a sad day. Can any of the guys identify with that? Your favorite garment. And then eventually, can any of the wives identify with that? That you've thrown things out that belong to your husband, which you thought had been around for too long. And you threw it out. Well, gosh. Let's examine this shrinking just for a moment. What does shrinking mean? It means to contract, to pull together, as from heat, cold, or wetness. Heat, sometimes the heat of persecution, can be so much that it causes a believer to shrink back, to contract, to go back within themselves and not be outward as God intended. He didn't call us to be apologetic. He called us to be apologists, people who explain their faith, but not to be apologetic about their faith, to shrink back from speaking. So shrink back from heat, shrink back from cold. Sometimes it can be the coldness of relationships that cause us as individuals to shrink and go within ourselves. Sometimes it can be wetness. The storms of life and the storms of circumstances encroach us and cause us contraction to go back within ourselves. And what they are demonstrating in their Christian life no longer fits the Christian experience, which should not be to shrink, but rather to expand and be outward. It means also to draw back in fear, to flinch when something's coming your way. Where a believer flinches from the path ahead, ground is lost. Ground is lost. And in the letter to the Hebrews, written to a Jewish community, Jewish Christians living in a Greek world, their initial witness on receiving Jesus as their Lord and their Savior was outstanding. It was great. But then persecution, opposition started to come their way. And they had formerly been Jews, and Judaism was accepted within the Roman Empire. It didn't get you into trouble unless you caused a rebellion or did something against the law. And Christianity started to cross into that boundary where persecution was happening. People were causing riots about these Christians, about what they were doing. And for some of them, it began to be, well, hang on, I'm not saying I don't believe anymore. I do believe in Jesus. However, I will keep the appearance of being a Jew because Judaism is safer. And so they shrank back from sharing, shrank back from being outward in their Christian experience. And maybe nobody would ever have known that they were Christians in their normal course of everyday life. And it's that the writer to the Hebrews is addressing. He addressed it in many different ways. He addressed Moses. He addressed the prophets. He addressed the angels, the sacrifices, and the old covenant, which were all part of Judaism. And he says, hey, but you found Jesus. Jesus is greater than Moses. He's greater than the prophets. He's greater than angels. They are messengers. They serve. Well, who do they serve? They serve him. They serve God. He's greater than the sacrifices that you made because his sacrifice was once for all. And he's greater than the old covenant. We have a new covenant through Christ written in his blood. Therefore, keep keep the faith. Don't lose your confidence, but rather endure and pass through. Live by faith and not by sight. And sometimes that is easier said than done. Amen? To live by faith, because faith, by definition, means you're still looking for something. Once you've received something, you don't need faith for it. But faith is always a reaching, a striving, a trusting that is necessary for faith to be alive. And there's no better way than when we're in trouble. No better way when times are hard, when losses have been great, when difficulties arise. We are striving for faith, to trust God. Even as we've heard this morning with those wonderful testimonies, we have many cancer survivors here this morning. Amen? We continue to strive because of faith. Chapter 10, the writer calls them to persevere. And his thrust is, let us. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. Let us. Because it's not all about me. As it turns out, we sang that song. It is about him. But it's also the fact that you, when you become a Christian, have been brought into the body of Christ. Yes, you are not alone, because he is always with us. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. Life is worth the living just because he lives. There's another song about living. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He what? Walks with me. Talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives. Come on. He lives within my heart. So yes, he's always with us. But the wonderful thing is, he's brought us into his body, and therefore we are not alone in terms of brothers and sisters. And it's that emphasis that he's talking about when he says, let us. So for example, if you look back at verse 22 in chapter 10, verse 22, he says there, let us, not let me, but let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near to him. One of my favorite truths. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. That's what it's all about. But he's saying, not just me, but let us. Let's do it together. Amen? When you have a church that's doing something together, it becomes a strong church. Where it's a lot of individuals doing their individual thing, it loses power. But where people are willing to pull together to achieve a common goal, there is strength. Listen, God had to, at the Tower of Babel, he had to actually break in and disperse mankind, because they were focusing on one area, and what he told man to do was to populate the whole earth. And what they were building together was really a symbol of their pride, this tower which they wanted to reach the heavens. And so he dispersed them, had to scatter them. Friends, that is the power of unity for unbelievers. We look across our world, we see some amazing, amazing structures, amazing things that have been built, not by Christians particularly, but by man. When man is unified, they achieve incredible things. So how much more when Christians are unified in Christ, and they have as their boss the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They have the power of his Holy Spirit living in them, They have the gift of prayer to be able to commune and talk with him. How much more should we be able to achieve when we're together? Can I hear an amen to that? Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. But there's more lettuces, and that's not vegetation, that's let us. Delayed reaction there, praise God. Verse 23, he goes on, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. What's the hope that you have? What's the hope that we have for Romford Ealing Church? Because more than ever in the days that we live, the church needs to be unified and together, because there'll be great strength there. What is the hope that you have? There are some things that you know that we've been striving for a while. A building. A building. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. We've been striving for that. That's still to come. The horizon still needs to open somehow. Things need to be addressed. I was hoping that in my time that would have been it, but it looks like it's going to be for someone else to do. Amen? But the hope still continues. And so when Helen takes over and the team continue to pray, you're still in this together. It's not sort of sit back and say, well, Helen, yeah, get on with it. It's together. All eyes open. Do you know most of the ways that most buildings have been achieved for churches, someone in the congregation has said, oh, Pastor, I've seen something down the road. And so it is for all of us to keep our eyes open, to keep our ears open, to keep feeding back. Hold on to hope. But more than that, I'm sure that your hope is that God would fulfill his promises to Romford Ealing Church. His promises that we've reiterated over time and time again, of what God said to the church. That he would bless us. That he would make us like a tree planted by a riverside, with its roots going deep into the water. And that the tree would bear fruit. It would be fruitful. Releasing wells of ministry. That's a hope that we have. Amen. That's ongoing. That's ongoing. That's a word from the Lord. Several words actually put together in a sentence. That hope's still alive. And it won't be achieved if we separate, if we disperse. It will be achieved together. Let us hold on to the hope that we have. But he goes on, verse 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. You know what a spur is? On the heel of the rider of a horse. And as they ride the horse, they can dig in their spurs. It'll make the horse jolt forward. That mighty beast will lunge into even further power and faster and gain ground. And we, similarly, are supposed to spur one another on. It doesn't mean that we get a spike on the back of our heel and start kicking each other or anything like that. It means to encourage one another. It means to push one another so that we achieve what God has given us. So it was lovely to see, on the keys this morning, Tomiwa. Amen. Obviously, she's played before in the youth and stuff, but now begin to be part of the worship group. Things like that's got to happen. Others have got to be spurred on. Young people who actually can play and minister learn to grow in that gifting. Others have to be spurred on in terms of roles and functions within the church, where they see needs within the church. Yes, needs amongst the youth, the children, but needs amongst our senior members, needs of help and care, needs of support. And it's not always possible for one person to see everything. Well, it's not. It comes from the body. And therefore, there is functions that the body can only achieve if it's going to be achieved well. Spur one another on. Of course, you remember Barnabas. You remember the conflict that Paul had with Mark. They took Mark, John Mark, with them on a missionary journey. Now, Paul was apostolic. His vision was clear in those early days. He was very clear to take the gospel out, to go to major cities, speak first to the Jews, his own people. If they rejected, then he'd go to Gentiles and share the good news message. And then he'd move on. He'd put leaders in charge, and then he'd move on to the next town, to the next thing. His goal was to reach Rome, the center of the empire. He got there, and it cost him his life, but he got there. So full of that kind of passion. So he didn't suffer fools, really, regularly. And Paul Mark, when he went on the first missionary journey, we don't know exactly what happened, but it ended up where he said, look, can I go back home? And he just backed out, whether it was just too much for him, whether he missed home too much, we don't exactly know. But he had to go back. The next time that they went, he wanted to join. And Paul said, oh, no, I can't trust him. Anyway, he let us down last time. But it was Barnabas who was accompanying Paul. He said, no, let's give him another chance. Let's give him another chance. Oh, is that me? He said, let's give him another chance. So they went. Barnabas went to him and he said, Paul, I think we should give Mark a chance. He's now understanding what it means on these mission trips. And he wants to have another go. Come on. And Paul said, absolutely not. And they had a disagreement. They fell out over it, Paul and Barnabas. And it was Barnabas who had to then take him and go off on a separate journey. And Paul took Silas. But in the end, praise God, we read, you know, how Paul lists out names and stuff and gives God thanks and prays for people. Mark is mentioned in there. So they must have been reconciled. And of course, we thank God because of Mark's gospel. But that was due to Barnabas, the son of encouragement, that he reached his potential. So let's spur one another on, shall we? Amen. So turn to someone next to you and say something nice. Spur them on. Spur them on. Come on. Don't tell them that their outfit has shrunk. Please, don't tell them that. Yep. Spur them on. Let's go to verse 25. Verse 25, there's another lettuce. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. Friends, is there someone that you miss? Just the wind. That just reminded me of college. At college, we had a friend and he was a great man of God, still is a great man of God. He used to always go round and round the campus, praying in tongues, just taking lone walks. But one day he made a joke. He made a joke about one of the girls. This is all in our year at Bible College. He He made a joke about her because she went to Morocco, somewhere like that, somewhere where they offer women a camel. Yeah, we'll buy you for camels. Yeah, and so some person back said, how many camels for her? And so when they got back, he made a joke about it in the canteen, and she was really upset, you know, but everybody was laughing and stuff. So she determined that she'd get him back. So she went to Jill, who was house mum, so she had all the keys for all the rooms. She said, oh, please, can I get into Keith's room? Why? And she told us what she was going to do. She said, okay, I've got a yashmak, and I'm going to dress in a black yashmak, and I'm just going to sit on his bed. Jill said, okay. It was in our block. There's a corridor, and then there was a room. His room was there, and it looked out onto the windows. This corridor had windows all along, and there were orange streetlights outside of it. She went in at, I don't know, it was after dinner, so it was been about 6. He went on his walk, and that's when she was able to be let in. And she sat cross-legged in this black yashmak, and it was like this. It was only her eyes. She sat in a lotus position on this bed, and the bed was across the door. And 1 hour, 2 hours, he walked for 2.5 hours. So it was much longer than we thought it was going to be away. So she was still in there. By then it had got dark. And he came back full of the Spirit, been talking in tongues. He opens the door, orange light, black figure on his bed. In the name of Jesus, Shankabaranda Sotogroko Shendada. He started casting out this demon. We all got up and ran out, and I said, Keith, it's all right. I can't remember. It's only Sarah. She got him back good and proper. So where were we? Do not give up meeting together. Really, really important. Really important. And I continue to ask for, I always ask for your encouragement through summer. So many people go missing with holidays and stuff like that. But for us, coming together is really, really important. But more than that, more than just a holiday period, is there people missing? Is there people that you are aware of? Have you given them a phone call? Have you knocked on their door? Have you found out if they're okay? Or if there's a problem? If they're sick? If they've gone away on holiday? We don't always know. But when the body functions, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. One of the things that blesses me the most is that a home group, when someone's ill, a home group has got there before I do. Because that tells me we're functioning. It tells me we're functioning. They're not leaving it down to the pastor or to one individual or someone with a title, but the body is caring for itself. And that always blesses me when others have been there beforehand. Because it just makes me, yes. Let's not give up meeting together, because when we meet together, we get to know one another. I encourage you, join a home group. If you've been here for a while, I encourage you, get involved with one of the service groups, whether it be, you know, for the youth, for the children, for the PA, for the ushering, for the worship. Seek to find where God's gifting is for you, and to make yourself available to find out more. Or, just as important, where things are missing. We're not an all singing and dancing church. We've still got gaps that need to be filled. And you may notice those gaps. And you may think, well, why is nobody... It may be that God's speaking to you. And all the leaders are waiting for someone to come and tell us, talk to us. Let's see if we can address something or at least explain why. Let's not give up meeting together. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Verse 25 also says, encourage one another. We've mentioned that already. And then in verse 32 to 39, That's where he says, don't shrink back. I exhort you, don't shrink back. Don't get back within yourself, but press on into Christ to achieve what he has for you. And he encourages them. Verse 32 to 34 says there, remember those earlier days after you'd received the light when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. If you find that you are in that position, if you're honest, of a little bit of shrinkage has been happening, and I'm not talking about your clothes, I'm talking about spiritually. There's a little bit of shrinking, that's a little bit of contraction that you're coming back within yourself. You're not as outward and passionate as you were. The first thing that he's saying is, remember. Remember, that word comes up in Revelation, doesn't it? Remember your first love. Yeah? When we're in that position where we feel, oh, just flagging a bit here, or, you know, you're not being as committed, or you're not reading your word as you were, or you're not praying as you were, or whatever, remember. Take yourself back to what your start of your Christian faith was like. The start of your Christian faith was so important. And so often, it's a revelation that happens. And when a revelation happens, it's like the light is switched on. Yeah? Suddenly you're saved. You love Jesus. The Word of God comes alive. The Bible was dull. It didn't make any sense before. But you read it now, and suddenly it's just springing out in your face because the Spirit of God is living in you. All things become new. The old has gone. And the new has come. And what we need is for that newness to stay. But time can tarnish it. You know, battles and fights, particularly for your faith that you've had to go through. Losses can happen. Things can happen. And, you know, before you know it, instead of walking like this, enjoying Jesus, yeah, you okay, man? Yeah. Praising God? Yeah. Hallelujah. When you walk into the room, the light comes on. That's what people remember, and then suddenly that same Joe is coming in. I said, oh, what's the matter? Oh, no, everything's fine. But it's obviously not. And you just lost that spark. It begins with remember. Remember what you were. And how you love Jesus. Don't lose that love. Because of their newfound faith, it says, they stood their ground in the face of suffering. They endured public humiliation. They endured insult. They identified with other sufferers. They endured prison and the loss of property. These guys had a powerful testimony. Some of us have not endured some of those things. But they had, and they were still standing firm. But then something later on happened, just maybe time passing, and they began to get weary. And the persecution really hit them hard. Remember what you were. And when you're in those difficult times, the second thing to do is repeat. Verse 35. I think in Revelation, it says repent, actually. It says repent. So remember where you were. Repent. If the reason why you're flagging is because of something that you've done or your attitude has changed, then repent. Say, I'm sorry, Lord. So that barrier that has taken away your joy can be removed. The third thing is then to repeat. Verse 35. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Don't throw away what you had. Keep it. Keep it and repeat it. And so if there's habits that you've stopped doing, like reading the scriptures, like prayer, start praying again. Start reading again. building yourself up again. Repeat what you used to do. And then finally, receive. Receive. Verse 39. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Verse 37 tells us Jesus is coming back. And he will not delay. And my righteous one, us, you, will live by faith. And if we shrink back, he will not be pleased. But rather, we should stand and receive all that's going to come to us when Jesus comes back. And he says, Angela, well done, good and faithful servant. Come, receive my crown. And he puts some crowns on us and gives us all that he has promised when he comes back. So friends, this morning, are we going to shrink back? Are we going to contract rather than expand? We've got to be outward looking, amen? Shall we stand? Hallelujah.